And we want God to be the most important thing in our life as men. We need it in this time and this hour. And so I'm excited, and the best is yet to come. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, and then we got these little gifts out there. And take one. These are scripture cards, and they're really cool. You could put them in. You can put them as a bookmark in your car, in your book, excuse me, or you can place them in your car, on your window when you're getting ready, on your mirror, wherever you want. And they're just good words for men. This is, I keep my eyes always on the Lord, with Him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Psalm 16:8, man of God, it says. And there's about 6 or 7 different cards. Take as many as you want. And they're just good reminders. Speak the word over yourself. Place them in different places in your home. And if you know a guy that's not here, grab him one. And we got these keychains for dads too. There's a couple different scriptures on them. This one's Jeremiah 29:11. So grab one for a dad or for just a man that you just want to encourage. And give him this. It'll be a blessing. Amen. Awesome. Yay. And then we got next week, Pastor Robert and Wendy. Say hello. We love Pastor Robert Wolf. He's amazing. And he's actually going to be preaching next Sunday. He has been with us a few times. How many know him from last time he came? Yeah, he's phenomenal. And so they usually come for about a week. The bagels, yes. Bagel theology. Yes. They usually come for like a week or two, and they stay up in Mammoth, and so they're here with us this morning, and they're going to be speaking next Sunday. So come, and it'll be a great blessing, 10 a.m. In Crowley, 4 p.m. in Bishop. Amen? Praise the Lord. And so we're gonna jump into this. Why don't we pray, and we'll get going here. So, King Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for Father's Day. We just celebrate. We celebrate the dads. We thank you, Lord, so much for all the fathers in this region, in this community, in this church. And we pray, bless them, Lord, and be with them. Fill them with your Spirit. Fill them with your love. Fill them with your mercy and with your grace today, Jesus. And God, most of all, we just thank you for who you are in our life and for who you are in our story. You are everything. You are the best father. Lord, that even during those times when our earthly father missed it or just wasn't the best in a particular moment, you have always been good. You have always been faithful. You've always been on time. And we love you. We love you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. So I have a little message, but we're going to do something different today. We have something exciting that will go right along with what I'm talking about. But as you can probably see, our good friends Soto and Gloria are here. And Soto, just a quick introduction. I was a missionary in Mongolia from 2002 to 2005. And then went there several times after that. But when I was living there full time, Soto was one of my dearest friends in Mongolia, and we did a lot of ministry together and wrote some dramas together for teenagers, Christian dramas, and just did youth ministry and or prison ministry, all kinds of stuff. And so, just a wonderful, wonderful brother, and he has been a pastor for a long time in Mongolia, pioneered churches, and done so many amazing things. But as you remember, over the years, they came to us we became pastors in 2014. You guys came for the first time, I believe, in 2015. And they were really in need of some rest. And so they came, and they were able to stay at Father's Heart Lodge, and they got some rest, some refreshing. I'm going to let him tell you why they needed rest and refreshing. But they've been coming ever since 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, and they just kept visiting. They made friends, not just with us, but with many in our church and in this region. And during that time, they were believing for a baby. They've been believing for a child for 15 years. for a son, and we prayed over them, and we laid hands on Gloria, and we laid hands on Soto, and we believed for the Lord to do a good work, and He did. And so they left in 2019, and their whole world got locked down. Our whole world got locked down. Mongolia actually just got released from lockdown in March. They've been completely locked down for like 2 years. And he was sharing a story about just trying to go sneak past police and guards to get his older daughter an ice cream cone. And you had to sneak past police officers and all these checkpoints and to get an ice cream. This is like communism. It's crazy. But they haven't been able to come back since 2019. And so they're here with their promise and with their boy, Mergen. And so would you come up, brother? He's going to share a little bit of his testimony on how that happened, what the Lord did in their life. And then I'm going to tie it a little bit into some scriptures that are in my heart. So would you give a warm welcome for our brother, Soto?
Thank you. Hey, good to see you again. They're coming. First of all, I would like to say thank you so much for Church on the Mountain and Pastor Mike and Heather and all the brothers and sisters in Christ here. So, look at the guy. Miracle baby. Yes. Thank you so much for your prayer. And
yeah, best day, Father's Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is very feeling.
It means a lot to us, your faithful prayers and word of encouraging every time when we visit here. You pray over us and bless us and sharing the word of prophesying, the word of encouragement. All those words were so much encouragement to us. So that's how we broke through the wall in our life after 15 years of waiting. And I just want to say thank you so much for your faithful prayers. And so Church on the Mountain is now already a family to us. And every time when we come, you always open your heart and hug us and show us the love of Christ. And every time when I see this spiritual family, it's really, really the community filled with the love of God and supporting each other. So thank you so much. Thank you. This is our heart. And some of you didn't hear about our story, so long story short, I just want to share a few points. And we married in 2006 and been waiting to have a child for 7 years, and we had three miscarriages along the way, and the last one is in 2013, and my wife was 5 months pregnant, and somehow there was a health condition became so bad, and then immediately we went to ER, and the doctors said, so it's not possible for the baby and the mother cannot survive. It's too late, they said. I was praying to God, and it was unbelievable for me, you know. God is taking Gloria. He has been preparing Gloria for many years for His glory. And and then He's taking Gloria with Him. It's not possible. and but somehow the surgery went unbelievably successful, and baby died, but mother survived. And doctors were shocked, you know. So strange. Something is happening. Yeah, and since then, it was really hard, really tough years, and 7 years out there, and we have to wait another years, and then we gave up so many times. So many times we cried together and we gave up. Lord, we can't do it. And but along the way, Church on the Mountain was one of the greatest families in this earth to encourage us every time when we visit here, you know. And because of your prayer and love and care and, you know, word of encouragement. So we're filled again with the Spirit and with His Word, and then keep going forward. And finally, in 2020, very strange, during a pandemic year, everyone was staying home, you know, cannot go out. Yeah, and God gave His gift. Right after 2013, I was crying to God, you know. Every time when I saw little boys, you know, playing with their dad, it just break my heart. As a man, I just wanted to have a, you know, son to take care of, to disciple in Christ. And I was crying for God, and Father, I just want to have a son. You know my heart's desire. I've been, you know, so humble all these years and so faithful all these years. I've been your, you know, full-time dedicated servant, and please give me a son. And I saw a vision. A little toddler were playing with me and smiling at me. And that was a very short prayer time, you know, personal devotion with the Lord. And I feel so much peace. And so much peace. And in that peace, I just heard the voice of the Lord says, I have a time for you. Trust me. I'm going to give you a son. So since that moment, I just carry that peace in my heart and I trust in Him. Yes, His time is coming. I don't know when. It's too difficult to wait, but He's good God. He's faithful. And finally, in 2020, when I found the baby in a womb was a boy, it feels so good, you know. Wow, time is coming. But still afraid of you know, losing him until the fifth month is coming, of, you know, fifth month of pregnancy is coming. Oh, it's so, you know, full of faith, and keep praying, Lord. And we did our best, and then fifth month passed, and a little bit relief in my heart, you know. Then sixth month, and then more relief, and seventh month, more. And then from the eighth and ninth month, feel so happy, you know. We passed the difficult months of pregnancy. Now I'm ready to, you know, hold him on my head, on my arm, yeah. So, yeah, this is really, really amazing. to feel after 15 years. I never imagined before in my early days of marriage if someone say, you know, we don't have a child yet, we're waiting for 4 years. It sounds, what? 4 years? How can it happen, you know? It's so unbelievable. But I became the person like that. 4 years, another 4 years, 7 years, and 10 years. And people listen, 10 years, oh, okay. But it's 15 years already. And so finally, we broke through the wall. And it feels so amazing. And let me tell you, it's the same principle, spiritual principle we faced in our life. But in every area of our life seems similar. So we feel sorrow in our lives because of so many different issues, right? And but we hurt in our heart so bad, so difficult. And but at the moment that God, you know, fulfilled His promise. For example, at the moment we were holding our baby, like, you know, Simba moment. Simba, wow, there he is. And we understood that, you know, all those pain and sufferings just completely gone within a moment. And Gloria and I tried to remember how difficult was those days, you know, were those days, and cannot find such a sorrow or such a pain. Yeah, but we're sure, you know, it was too difficult for us to survive. That's why we gave up so many times, right? Right. But it's gone now. Just feels like completely forgot, you know. Never happened that kind of such a, you know, pain and sorrow in our life. That's amazing. So we found that God, when God heals us, His healing is complete. We never remember those days. We try to remember, we won't find such a sorrow and pain in our life. Amen. Back again. We will never feel that sorrow again. So that was amazing healing process. So I just want to encourage you with that. Amazing. So everyone is same, you know, different trials in our lives and different pains and sorrows, but spiritual principles similar, same. God's timing is coming. And when His time comes, He will fulfill His promise. Same time, He will heal our heart. And then those sorrows and pains will be gone. And you will feel full of joy. Full of joy, you know, in His presence, in His love. And that's what I want to share today. And yeah, after 15 years, I really understood our Heavenly Father is so faithful. So faithful for His promise. And He knows your heart's desire. Even you don't tell anyone around you, He hears your cry in your heart. Even you don't pray, you don't tell to God, He listens to you. And this is what I can tell today. And also, He carries us all. He's been carrying me through all these years, and I thought I was just, you know, alone in this situation, but finally I found, you know, he was with me, like he was carrying me on his hand, you know, and he was with me. And there is a time in your life, God's timing, it will come, definitely, it will come, and the promise will be fulfilled. So I want to encourage you, never give up, never give up. Please never give up. I don't know, you know, what kind of trial are you facing today, and with what kind of problem are you struggling. It doesn't matter what kind of, but what the matter is, he is so faithful. And don't give up. Keep walk with him, and his day will come. Sure, I'm surely I can say that. And especially on your calling, on your destiny in him, please never give up. So we named our son Mergen, M-E-R-G-E-N, Mergen, Mergen. So we pronounce Mergen, Mongolian Mergen, means man of God's wisdom, man of God's wisdom. So I tried to find the name for him before he was born, but, you know, I was praying a lot and asking him, so give me a name, you know. So never come. And after when I hold him in my arm, and God just immediately revealed about his future and destiny, he's going to become a man of God's wisdom, and he's going to become wise man, you know, and the faithful steward of God's kingdom. So powerful economist, whoever, you know, whoever served the Lord. So I just bless him, okay. Man of God's wisdom, Mergen. So, yeah, and I want to read from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39 to 29. Deuteronomy, chapter 1, verse 28 through 31. And NIV Bible says, then I say to you, do not be terrified, do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes. And in the wilderness, there you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place. Amen. So, happy Father's Day. Have a great day. Thank you, brother.
Come on. Isn't that amazing? Had me crying over there. I feel like Soto needs to pray over all of us. And so why don't you put your hands in front of you? I'm not going to ask who's believing for something, who's been holding on. But I know in our lives, there are many things, promises that we've been waiting on God for. And some big, some small, but we're waiting. And we need God. It's God or bust. And I just want Soto to pray and to declare over your life as you wait on the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful moment to bless our brothers and sisters in you. Yes, Father, you know every individual in this room and their heart, their cry, their needs. You love them so much. You love everyone in this room. You are our Abba, Heavenly Father. You carry us. Your love never fails us. Your love always embracing us. Yes, Father, I just want to declare that the walls in front of our brothers and sisters in their life, the walls being as an obstacle in front of their steps toward into your calling and destiny in their life, I just command in the name of Jesus, get away in front of us. I break all those walls. I break it in the name of Jesus. And I declare that clear vision and revelation and wisdom from God to walk forward with our Heavenly Father to our destiny, to tomorrow, to the future. Hallelujah. And I just want to declare the healing, amazing, powerful healing of our Heavenly Father. Your love heals us. Thank you. Right now, all the cells of our body rise up and give glory to our Creator and be healed in Jesus' name. Our spirit, soul, and body, complete healing and restoration and full of joy and love in our destiny. Yes, Father, from today and on, we walk more boldly, more faithfully, and full of passion and fruits in your presence, in your word, in your spirit. Yes, Father. Thank you so much. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Come on. Thank you, brother. Isn't that so good? Are you so blessed? What a blessing. And I just felt it was so important that he's shared that on Father's Day. Oh, come on. It's just a beautiful testimony. And thank you, King Jesus. Thank you so much. Thank you, Lord. We just, such a grateful people. And we are a part of that testimony. Because your prayers are powerful. Our prayers are powerful. And we, like he said, we rallied around them as a church family. And we offered them love and care and support and prayers and prophetic words. And that's important stuff. And so praise God. I'm just kind of wrecked over that. That just kind of messed me up. So I'm trying to get my composure again. I want to kind of just piggyback off of that a little bit, because as I was just spending a little bit of time with him, I just kept thinking about the story of Abraham and just the wonderful story. I love Abraham's faith for so many reasons, and I'm always, whenever I read the story of Abraham, I'm always just moved. Like it just, I'm moved by the entirety of Scripture, but then there's certain individuals throughout Scripture where it just like moves me at a different level. And Abraham is one of those people. And as I was rereading it, and I just kept thinking about our brother Soto and the waiting for the promise, waiting and not losing heart. And that is who Abraham was. And he waited, and we know the story. And the Lord gave him his Isaac, and it was this beautiful thing. But what God was kind of just sharing with me is I got this scripture in Psalm 145, verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And I love that verse because the next generation, the millennials, all the kids and grandkids after us, desperately need the gospel. And they need to know who our Father in heaven is. They need to know about the goodness of God. They need to know. And the Bible is specifically clear. It says the way that we do that is through our words. We speak. We share from one generation to the next. And so we have to be vocal about our faith. We have to be vocal about the things that changed our life, our testimony, all right? We overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And so speaking is powerful. But when I look at the life of Abraham, I begin to notice something that is even like bigger than your words, which we need words. But there's something that is like more impactful than just speaking something, and it is your life. That not just speaking faith, but living faith. Amen. And there was something that was like so contagious about, and something that was so impacting in the way that Abraham lived his life, that it went to his son Isaac, and there was something that he grabbed a hold of that his dad had, that it went to his son Jacob, and to Joseph, and on and on, and it was generational. And I'm like, well, what was the bread and butter for Abraham? What was the thing? What was the thing that changed it? Yeah, it was faith. But here it is. I want to take you first. I think it's important to look at what his son did. His son Isaac. Listen to this. In Genesis chapter 26, this is Isaac. This is Isaac after he has been with his father. He's watched his father. He's watched what his father has done and how he has lived. And this is what it says about Isaac in Genesis chapter 26 in verse 25. It says, Isaac. So he, Isaac, built an altar there, and he called on the name of the Lord. And then he pitched his tent there. And then his servants dug a well. And you can just read over that very casually, which I have in years past and times past. But that's it. That is the game changer. This is the life that is laid down. This is the life of faith. The very first thing that Isaac did, and this is what he did whenever he would go into a new territory. The first thing that he would do is build an altar to the Lord. Then the very next thing he would do is he would pitch his tent. Then he would begin to dig a well. He would do this in every single location that he would go. And why would he do this? Because this is what his father did. Every location that Abraham would move to, the very first thing that he would do is build an altar. And why? What's an altar? An altar is, it's a place of encounter. It's a place of worship. It's a place of consecration, a place of dedication, a place of forgiveness, a place of hearing the Lord clearly for your life. And so this is like Abraham said, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to speak some wisdom over your life. But more than that, I have to have God for me. And so it's like, you know, it's like our kids see our routine in the morning, getting the coffee and, do you open the Bible or do you open Facebook? You know, are you praying? Do they see us in prayer intercession or do they see us just arguing? Because the very first thing that they see, that's what they're going to begin to do. Hallelujah. And what Isaac saw in his father was, okay, when the pressure is on, when the heat is on, my dad, he builds an altar and he goes to be with the Lord. He has to have an encounter with God. He has to have this moment with the Lord. This is who Abraham was. And I just need that in my life. And so it's like, so the three things that we need. I'm talking about legacy for our kids and legacy for the next generation. And And this is about dads, but this is for moms too. This is for the single ladies and for the single men. It's about the next generation. And the next generation is going to be so impacted when they see our life, when they see the faith in our life, and when they see a group of people that choose to consecrate their life and consecrate their heart to an almighty God and change everything around, move everything around. I got to be with King Jesus. I have to spend time with him. I'll do anything to be in his presence more. Every morning, every day, it's contagious. I remember going to, my kids were having a little slumber party at Grandma and Grandpa's, and I love, being in the Word, and I love praying every day. But I remember there was just a bunch of stuff happening this one season. They're having a slumber party, and the kids were watching, my mother-in-law and father-in-law. They get up very early, and they will sit in their chair in the living room, and they'll build a fire, and then they just read their Bibles for an hour or two, and they just pray, and they just hang out with the Lord. And when the kids hear stuff and rumblings and people doing stuff and talking, then they get up, and so they go to the living room, and they want to be like Grandma and Grandpa, so they get their Bibles. And I was like, gosh, like I don't want my faith and I don't want my quiet times to be this secret thing that my kids never know about. I want it to be on display. I want them to be something inside of them says, I want to be like Dad. I want to have an encounter. I want to get deeper into the Word like Dad, like my grandpa, like my grandma, like whoever, is in your sphere of influence. And so a place of encounter, I think, is the greatest thing that we can show the next generation. We need altars again, not altars of Baal, but altars. And Isaac knew about an altar. He knew altars all too well. He knew that time when Dad had to carry him up the mountain. And he's like, hey, what are we doing, Dad? Oh, we're just going to go worship, son. Well, where's the offering, Dad? Don't worry. He'll provide. You must know, like, that must have been the most incredibly difficult walk in Abraham's life. That would be like the Lord speaking that to Soto after waiting for 15 years. And this is what's happening to Abraham. But the Lord provided a ram, and he was just seeing his faith, his faithfulness. Will you choose me over anything else? And so Isaac knew. He knew what these altars represented. And so it became a priority in his own life. And he began to do this. And then he pitched a tent. This is what Abraham did. This is what Isaac did. This is what Jacob did. Every location, they would pitch a tent. And you're like, okay, why is that significant? I think it's very significant. And we just went camping for a few days, and we had to pitch a few tents. And it's work, you gotta commit to the land. You gotta be in this. Okay, we've gotta get our firewood, gotta get all the stuff together. And so you don't just casually camp. Like you have to commit to the place, right? Set up, get your food, get your menu, and then. But I even begin to think even more so than American camping, which takes work and takes commitment. But I think of the Mongolians. Or different cultures, they're nomadic people in the countryside. And when they are pitching a tent, so to speak, it's a house. It's called a gir. And so it takes quite a while to set this thing up. They put a stove in the middle that they could cook on, and it keeps them nice and hot during the winter months. And so they have to load this thing on gigantic wagons or trucks. And it's very time consuming, and they have many, many animals, and so they have to move with the animals so the animals can go to the water and they can graze. And so when they find a spot and where there's other families that they can connect with, they commit to this land. And I think this is really important, why this was so important for Isaac to see this in his dad. It's like, I think men, we have a hard time, in our culture, we have a hard time committing. I don't want to commit to this job because maybe a better job's going to come. Or I don't want to commit to this church because maybe a better church is going to come. I don't want to commit. But he's like, no, you need to get to the point in your life where you just let everything off your wagon. Commit to the land. If God has called you to a land, if he's called you to a community, if he's called you to this job, to this church, then just get your tent off the wagon. Come on, somebody. Get your tent off the wagon and begin to set up. And the thing I love about tents is it's not like a home. It's not like, oh, this is forever. It's you're committing to the place that God has called you, but on the same token, like you understand, if the Lord says move, you're movable. You can pack that thing up and you can move in the direction that the Spirit of God is leading you and moving you. Hallelujah. And so it's like we don't have, I just feel this when I'm around people and oftentimes, unfortunately, sometimes around men. It's just there's this hesitancy to fully commit. And because we're afraid of missing out on the better. But that's a lie from the pit of hell. We have to just commit, go all in, and just know this. Like there was this, the Lord really did this when I was doing missions work, and I was afraid. I was afraid to go all in, and the Lord said, no, just be all in and put your roots in heaven. Let your root system go in me. And so whenever I want to move you, I can move you. But if you are not committed to this place, you miss out on friendships. You miss out on community. You miss out on transformation. You miss out on everything that I have for you. And so there's something so significant about unpacking. Say unpack. And this is, I think, our kids and the next generation need to see, especially in 2022. I mean, people like they have a job for a year. And I'm like, I think I'm going to retire from this job. I'm going to go on to the next thing. It's like it's so crazy, the culture now. And I think we just, kids and the next generation need to see faithfulness, need to see committed people, and that we're not afraid. We're not afraid to let our hair down and just to go for it. Amen? That's a good word right there. And so he built an altar, he pitched a tent, and then the third thing that we see that Isaac did, that Abraham did, that Jacob did, is verse 25. It says, and then there Isaac's servants dug a well. Say, he dug a well. And this is important because in this time, in this culture, in this heat in the Middle East, you know, it was dig or die, right? You dig a well or you die, because the well, we need water to live. You can fast, you know, for many, many days and live, fast food, but you can only go without water for a certain amount of days, and then you're dead. You need water to live. Water is life. And, you know, we know that any times in whether it's Africa or many other countries, when there is a well, it creates community. When there is fresh water, there is fresh life. Life begins to come around the water source. And this is, I think, so prophetic because wells, well, let me add two more points to that. Wells are put in areas that often have lack. And wells bring community together. And so what does it say in Matthew chapter 4? This is Jesus. He said, but he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. And so digging a well, I believe that we are called to be a deep well. And I believe our church on the mountain, is called to be a deep well. And the way that we get deep in God is by getting deep in the Word. We have to go deeper in the Word. We have to live and we have to feast and have this a depth in the Word of God and allow it just to, you know, and sometimes it feels like stony ground in our hearts. But you got to get the jackhammer out and you got to just go deeper, deeper, deeper and break the hard ground. until you find the rivers of living water. And then it's like, it's beautiful and people want to be around you. They want what you have. There's something about Andy. I just got to hang around Andy. There's something about Wes. There's something about Vicky. There's something about Dennis and Judith. There's something about Jerry. I just got to be around you, right? That's what we want people to say this about us, about our church. But it happens when we personally commit, when we personally dig that well. And digging the well is your personal private relationship. Your personal private time with the Lord. You begin to dig that well. You begin to mine out the scriptures. Hallelujah. And so the altar is the worship. The tent is the community. The well is going deep, deep, deep into the Word of God. And then our church begins to flood with the rivers of living water. Hallelujah. And you people, I've heard it, and I believe our church already is, but we can go deep. There's always deeper. Right? It's like when I was a little boy, I remember going to the ocean with my parents, and I would stand in the shallow, and I'm like, this is so cool, and it's going over my feet. This is so cool, splish splash, and then I like look out, and I'm like, whoa, I want to go out there, you know, but I couldn't. I was too young. But then as I get a little bigger, I go waist deep, and I knew that there was always more. There's always deeper. You can always go deeper in the Lord. We've never arrived.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Come on, that's a good word. And so Abraham spoke words of faith. Abraham lived a life of faith. But Abraham, I believe, passed the baton of faith by living it in front of his family, living it boldly in front of his son. And Isaac grabbed the baton. And he did this. He also, I mean, if you read it, it's... our kids will do what we do, not what we say, right? And so Isaac also made some of the same mistakes that his dad made, right? He did. He did almost the exact same thing that his dad did, and that's my sister. But I believe the Lord did such an amazing work with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and they all did these three things well. And so I think our personal life matters. I think the words that we speak when we go to people in the coffee shop, when we're hanging out and encouraging somebody in the Lord, our words matter. I would never want to diminish that or belittle that in any way. Our words are so important. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. But the way we live is even more potent and powerful. Because people are watching. No matter if we recognize it or know it, people are always watching. Amen? And so it's more caught than it is taught. And so the generation and the high schoolers and the kids in this community and the ones that are just, you know, they're being indoctrinated by all kinds of craziness and you go into the school systems and they're like, well, you can be any gender you want to be. And you can, and they have all these things. You want to be non-binary? Go. And they actually have forms in Mammoth High School, Bishop High School now, where it's not just male and female anymore. You have multiple options. And it's very sad that it has come to this level and it's so politicized. And so I feel that the kids and the next generation, they are looking for a real compass. Amen. And people that have that know where north is. And we can show them as the church. We don't have to be scared kittens anymore. As scared lambs, right? As Jerry was sharing me this word from Dutch Sheets, and it was talking about the lambs and lions. And we've been lambs and we've done well as lambs, but it's time to be lions. We need to roar again. Roar over our kids and roar over this nation and a generation. Let them hear the roar of the church. Amen? Hallelujah. It's almost 12 o'clock, and I want to call our worship team back up and just to sing a song. Here, come on ahead. Yes, yes.
I'm getting wrecked. When he was
I had the exact same thing came up. And I wanted to read it, but the Lord showed me something. This is really neat. So I was kind of stunned when he said that. And he's like, well, I'm thinking about Abraham and Isaac, you know. And I was like, whoa. But anyways, that's wonderful, Holy Ghost. Let's see. He says, so he says, this is Genesis 22. Let's see. So it's in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. This is wrecking me, man. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. What I saw, and I've been seeing this for a little while. So the Lord tried Abraham, right? He tried him. Who did the same thing? Our Father. He gave everything for you. Mighty God, creator of heaven and earth, all things, he provided a lamb, which so happened to be his son. He gave it all because he's so in love with you. He's so passionate for you. I mean, the passion of the Father for you guys is crazy. So he told him to do it, and he did it himself. He actually did it. Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsook him before us, guys. Sorry, I'm crying. He forsook his only son for us, guys. That's the Father. That's relationship, man. Anyways, I wanted to share it because it was wrecking me. And that was beautiful. And what you shared. Because that's the Father's heart. That's who he is. And he's our Redeemer. He's our King. And he does see every little tiny thing in your heart. Everything. He's passionate about you. And that's where he's leading us, is to that place of relationship. Back to the garden. Back to the place where you're holding his hand in the cool of the evening. Hey? Love you guys.
That's so good. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. There's a lot on that, and there's a lot on what our brother Soto said. And just to wrap this up, and I think one of the coolest things about this whole story with Abraham is, Abraham, he built an altar to worship the Lord. And one of the locations where he built an altar became the very place that Jacob would dig a well. And I just thought on that a little bit. And that it was like the Lord kind of began to minister to my heart that like the places in my own life where I will break through, and where I'll have victory, and places of intimacy, places of passion, places of connection with the Lord, will be a place where my son and my kids will be able to drink living water from. Will be the place that they will be able to break ground and bring forth fresh water. And so this place where he began to dig, it's called Isaac's Well. It's a very famous well, right? We know it from Scripture that 2,000 plus years later, there was a woman at that well, hanging at that well, living, getting some water at that well. And that was where Jesus encounters her, and her whole life is changed at this well. I bet Abraham didn't even know that the place that he was worshiping, the place that he was encountering God, would thousands of years later be the place where this woman would, her whole life would get transformed by the Messiah himself. Amen. And so I want to encourage us to live lives of faith. Live lives where you believe for the promise. Don't grow weary while doing good. Believe. If it takes 15 years, just keep believing. If it takes 20 years, just keep believing. Have the faith of Abraham. Have the kind of faith of Isaac and Jacob. And have the kind of faith where you just say, I will worship him. I will have community. I will dig a well. I'll do whatever it takes because God is faithful. I will be faithful to him because he's faithful to us. So let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for this time. I thank you for the words spoken, for the worship, Lord, that prepared this atmosphere. God, the sweet anointing, the sweet presence in the worship. Lord, I thank you for the testimony of goodness, the testimony of your faithfulness, Lord, the testimony where it rang true in our hearts. Lord, if you'll do it for him, you'll do it for me. Lord, you'll do it again. You're a good father. And Lord, we collectively celebrate the goodness of God today, that you are a good father. You're a good dad, and we love you with all that we are. With all that we are. And God, as it says in the book of Psalms, we want to tell the next generation. We want to tell the next generation how good you are, that you are a faithful dad. Amen. That you are a loving father. You are so good. We want to tell the next generation with our words. We want to tell them with our actions, with our life, with the way that we conduct ourselves, with the way that we pray, with the way that we read the word. We want to preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Hallelujah. So God, I just pray a blessing, just a holy hedge of protection and a blessing over this group. Lord, you have been faithful to me. You've blessed me for many years, and you've spared my life when I should have been dead. And you spared my daughter's life, and you've been faithful, Lord, and you've blessed us with the Father's blessing. And you said, freely give. And so everything that you've given to me, I just ask for the blessing of the Father, the blessing of heaven to be upon this group right now. That there would be health in this room, that there would be grace in this room, that there would be provision in this room, that there would be amazing encounters with a good, good Father in this room. There would be increased passion for Jesus in this room, Lord. That there would be everything that every person in this room needs, because that is the blessing of the Father. The blessing of the Father carries with it no lack. And so we just release the blessing of the Father over every woman, over every man, over every child in this room, and every person listening online or who will listen. We release the blessing of the Father in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody who agreed with me, say amen. 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 Come on, somebody. Amen. Good word. Like right at 12, is that good or what? Come on. So God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Celebrate some dads in your life. Celebrate your own father. If your father's still living, please call him. Bless him. And because this is the time when the Lord is turning the hearts of the kids back to the dads and the hearts of the dads back to the kids. And so let's be proactive in that. And so God bless you. Get a donut. Get your scripture card. Get your keychain. And prophetically, I mean, Go to somebody in Looney Bean or Starbucks and just bless them. Just say, hey, you're a man of God. Or you're a pre-man of God. You're going to be one. I just want to bless you. Just give them something and see what the Lord will do. Open up a conversation. So God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you 4 p.m. if you want to go visit us in Bishop. If not, we'll see you next Sunday. God bless. Woo. Happy Father's Day.